MODOK!
And do you know what MODOK stands for?
Mental organism designed only
for killing.
Hate it!
For killing.
Where does he go at night?
Nobody knows.
Oh, no one took the cans out?
Come on!
Ah, shit.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Subbeacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Subbeacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. That made me wonder, now that it's getting really hot out there, do we have in the merchandise store swimwear? We should have swimwear.
I don't think so.
Bikinis?
Well, Sonny, you need to buy swim trunks.
I bought some swim trunks.
Oh, you did? Did you get the Quicksilver board shorts?
I got a pair of Quicksilver, but not the Diamond Dobby ones, which I couldn't find on Amazon. Just like a different pair of Quicksilver board shorts. Okay. And I didn't realize that they don't come with a mesh.
No.
There's no
there's no
mesh underwear.
So it's a free-for-all in there. It's
so
like
I'm not,
Aqua
I'm not,
Commando.
I bought another pair of swim trunks as well. And now I'm trying to decide if I want to free-ball it or if I want to get like
I'm used to that. I think you need something
If I want to get some like compression, what? Some compression undies or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
You could always,
they
you
have
could,
those.
I'm trying to figure out.
They call them surf shorts, I think. Mm-hmm. That goes underneath your board shorts if you need that sort of thing. Typically, that's for guys who are doing a lot of actual surfing. But you could do it.
Well, I mean, I don't want to go to the pool and have my shorts come flying off.
We could be like my giant Dutch brother-in-law. He prefers Speedos. But
I could do that. I feel like that would be a big
hit.
Coming
back.
Did I tell you guys that the pool that I joined is actually it's the Knights of Columbus?
No, it's not.
I don't have to be a crusader.
It is.
I can just pay money.
The Knights.
I don't have to like.
If you could
deliver,
see me, first of all,
fridges or whatever
first
it was.
Of all,
Victorino, he doesn't even see the Lord working mysteriously in his life, does
yeah,
he?
Yeah, no, he doesn't realize it. And also, for people who.
Sonny, you're so close.
So, for people who don't, who need that sort of structure in their podcasts, gentlemen, how are we? JVL,
yeah,
Sonny, okay, good. Now it feels complete. It just didn't feel right.
That's what she said.
Yes. You don't. It's the same thing with
that's
our
what Jeffrey club. Toobin said.
We have, in your face. That's what Jeffrey Toobin said.
Oh.
I'm back. It's the comeback.
It's
going
to be that kind of show, guys.
It's the comeback tour.
Hope everybody's enjoying this one.
He said, quit jerking me off. Around.
Man, I heard he was just spewing off on CNN today.
Oh.
Just complaining about things.
No.
Complaining about things. Sonny, you know, the Knights do open up the club to all people. That is true. You don't have to be a member, but
is that a form of evangelization?
Yes. Also, the pool, the water is actually holy water. I don't know if you know that.
That explains why
baptized.
Every time I jump in, the burning.
It was
the
like
flames.
It was like acid.
It's like the devil's advocate. I put a finger in. It's like
yes, he did that, and I still have questions about his powers in that movie. By the way, that movie was a serious quadrant killer in so many ways. I think, except for
it's long.
Yes, I was going
like,
to say
it's
duration.
Like 2 hours and 20 minutes long. It's.
I
real
thought
long
you
one.
Didn't like the sex crossed with violence.
Who, me?
Yeah. I thought you said when you were talking about Gone Girl
it's
that
true,
like you
except for I had
sex,
ex- no,
but then
no,
all
no,
of a
and there was
not a swerve
that's
and that,
no,
like
no, no,
that.
And I, you're absolutely right, JVL, and that part really did disturb me. I'm talking about the part where Charlize Theron takes the robe off, but my TV was able to digitally remove the scars and the cuts.
Oh, good, good, good.
So okay. Yeah, really quick.
Speaking of TVs,
hold on. Let me just say a quick aside. This is a long time ago. John Podhoretz had recommended to Jay
Nordlinger that he watched The Devil's Advocate because he said, oh, it's such a great movie. Jay was so, it was so disturbing. He said it was so awful for you. It was like traumatic for poor Jay having to watch that movie on so many levels. But it was really just quite, as you know, it's dark stuff. It's dark stuff. Although in the end, you know, Keanu Reeves made the right choice. So where did we go from here? Oh, Sonny, your pool. You're in the pool, Knights of Columbus, and you'll be doing the breakfast buffet soon.
What is your over-under for Sonny starting RCIA? Do you think he'll make it to August?
I don't have time.
End of the pool
church.
Season?
You know what? Yeah, you know what? That's like you stick your, what do you call it? You dip your toe in first, and then... There you go.
There was a guy in a black robe walking around, like shaking a thing. I didn't quite understand.
That was like, yes, I do. I'm
during
usually...
the adult swim, he's like, "All right, all the adults get in."
That's right. That would be me shaking the martini shaker.
Power of Christ compels. I don't know. Right. I don't know what you say during this.
Wow. Well, good for you. That's one step in the right direction, Sonny. You're going to say, speaking of TVs, how is your TV? Who has the problem with their TV? That was JVL.
Well, there was a listener wanted to talk about Prime Day.
Oh, right.
Right?
Listen, can we get very serious for a moment?
Yes.
This could be our last ever Prime Day with Lord Bezos. You guys saw this, right?
He's going to space.
You're worried it's going to be like an Apollo 1 situation.
It's the first ever manned flight of his Blue Origins rocket. And he's going up in it. And I am telling you, in the movie version of his life, this is how he dies.
No.
Or
no.
How he fakes his own death.
Yeah,
so that he
no.
can then become even more powerful.
What I think, you know what else he said
three
is...
3 days
John
later,
Hurt
he'll show
contact.
Up at the KC Club.
Yeah, no, he's also building one of these wormhole devices. and he's pretty sure. But you have to check the security. Security was lax, they said. Anyway.
He's actually going back in time when he gets up there so that he can steal... go back in time and steal Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, their brains, and like Cobra Commander creating Serpentor.
Oh,
he's gonna do a DNA project
That's
to
good.
Make one master
That's
tech.
Good. That's good. That's good. Yes, I wasn't sure if you wanted to talk about that for this or
what if he dies?
We have another week before Prime.
Are you guys prepared for what could happen if Lord Bezos dies?
When is the flight?
Pandemonium.
When is the flight JVL?
It's like a week after Prime Day. Oh, this is. I'm telling you, this
who
is
else
how.
Is, who else is on the flight? Like actually,
like five
people.
He's taking his brother. I mean, at this point, everything is fly by wire. It's all. I mean, the people don't do anything in the rockets anymore. It's all done by the computers.
That's not good.
But man, I'm telling you, just be prepared because if he dies in a rocket. Blow up. It will be the biggest story in America since like January. Like it'll be like Princess Di.
But you don't think now, obviously there's a bit of hyperbole here in our discussion, but you don't think people are actually like news organizations. They haven't written up, you know how they do the pre-obit. You don't think they've gone that far.
If the big papers haven't done that already, they're fucking crazy. Because you know what's really dangerous? Sitting on top of six stories worth of rocket fuel.
Yeah, yeah. You're
things go wrong. They go wrong all the time. They even go wrong when you've done them hundreds of times before. And they have not done this hundreds of times before.
Yeah.
It's really dangerous. Honestly, I kind of feel like the UN Security Council... should come to Lord Bezos and make a plea from all of humanity that he not do this, that he not risk himself.
I'll say to him, an example, though, for the rest of us.
That's right.
Jeffrey.
We need to aim high. We need to set high goals and then achieve them.
Jeff, don't do this. It's too soon. You're too young.
Yeah.
The world needs you.
If the rocket boosters are Morton Thiokol, get off, please. Okay. Sonny, what else? You don't know that?
I don't understand.
That's because it's already after your time. The Challenger happened.
That's right. That's the
Morton
Thiokol.
And if you were alive at the time or if you were a kid, there was so much news devoted to that at the time. The O-rings. Now there's a documentary on it now that's back out on the Challenger and all the problems leading up to the rush to get it out. But at the time, there was a lot of, so it was just in our heads that you just had to know that it was the booster rockets and the O-rings and Morton Thiokol. By the way, JVL, did you know the Morton of Morton Thiokols is actually Morton Salt? Like, it's the same company.
I did not know that.
Weird. Sonny, other than that, what else is going on?
I still don't understand this phrase that you're saying, Morton Thiokol.
Morton Thiokol was a company.
It's a contractor who built the O-rings.
So it's like Northrop Grumman.
Yes, right. Yes. They got swallowed up later.
Gotcha. Yeah.
What else?
That's the salt version.
Are we supposed to buy a TV for somebody? Is that what we're supposed to be doing?
Somebody wanted us to talk about the differences between the various types of TVs.
Oh, okay, good. I'm going to use the bathroom.
I'm
going to use the bathroom when I come back. Let me know how it goes.
So, Vic, do you have one of the televisions that are flat yet?
I am looking at it.
Is your television flat?
I believe it's called cathode ray.
It's got a tube inside.
It's a DLC. It's only 18 inches deep. It's amazing.
It's a
Sony Trinitron.
I had in my old Kennedy Ward apartment a great one. It was a rear projection, but the screen was flat. You know, so it's like
DLP, right?
It's a giant
digital
box.
Light projection, yeah.
And it was like all those TVs. The weight, there was such a disequilibrium where the weight was. It was all in the back. So if you carried it, you know, you think that you lift it equally, but no, one hand.
It's all in the back.
Yes.
Right?
So one hand, if you're holding it sideways, one hand is going to be heavier than the one hand is carrying more weight than the others. But not only that, but it had the built-in, I've told this before, I think, in my in a past episode, but it has the built-in DVD player in it.
Oh,
which was
nice.
So
that's
convenient.
That's worth $600 right
there. I believe it was a Panasonic, and then eventually, but until the thing breaks, and then it's just, you know.
Then it's just a box.
Then your movie is stuck in there. It's still
The first time I went to see Beth's mom and her husband, Mark, they had a DLP TV, and I remember he like tossed me the remote. He's like, "Yeah, turn it on." I hit the power button, and nothing happened. Like three lights on the front of it just started blinking. I was like, "I'm hitting the power button. What's going on?" Literally, the first time I touched the remote of this thing, the lamp, the like bulb in the thing burnt out, and I was like, "I broke it, but I just pushed the button." He was like, "Yeah, I guess you were just the unlucky push to be the last time this was ever going to turn on."
So did you go out and buy him a plasma screen?
What? No, I was like, I go buy you a new lamp, and he was like, "No, it's fine. These things happen. It's old." I was like, "Phew, got out of that one." Other more adventures in TV purchasing. I had one of the very rare. This is a relatively rare, unusual thing. I had a 32 inch or maybe a 30 inch, I can't remember, cathode ray tube HDTV.
Oh,
I had
the flat screen
CRT.
I remember those.
But HD, it was like 1080p, or no, it was 1080i. It was not even 1080p, it was 1080i. And it weighed approximately 7,000 pounds.
Those things
What
was the aspect ratio on it?
It was rectangular. It was 16 by 9. It was 16 by 9, but it was just, I think it's still in my parents' house somewhere.
How much did that cost at the time?
Pre-HDMI. So it was just the component cables, you know, it was amazing.
Do you remember the price?
Oh, I don't, I couldn't remember that. I don't know.
That's got to be been 800 or 900 bucks.
It was probably in the 800 range back then. Because it was also, I mean, again, it was small. It was like 32 inches or something.
Oh, right,
it was not
right,
like,
right, right,
it was
right,
not
right.
a big TV. Yeah. Except
and even
it was,
smaller than you think because it was 32 inches on the 16:9 diagonal.
It was 32 inches on the 16:9 by 9. And also, again, like the density of a black hole. I mean, it was like if you put it on a modern TV stand, it would just collapse into kindling, not Kindle. Sorry.
When I was a little kid, I managed to get into my room an old black and white TV that had was not used, but you know what I mean. But you plug it in and it had the antennas on, so you can get just a couple
the rabbit
of
ears.
Yeah, the rabbit ears, and it was black and white. And I remember what I would watch, which was Johnny Carson. because it was, let me tell you something, great material there. I learned a lot. I learned a lot from the man.
How old, Victorino, were you when you got your first remote control in the house?
Oh, young, I think, because, but I mean, I still remember as a kid.
Was it with the cord?
Yes, of course.
The corded remote control?
It's the box or the cord. But before that, I do remember as a kid, like 4, 5 years old, you had to go up to the TV. It was a Zenith.
To change the channel.
And it was wood paneled, and you had to change the channel. There was 12. And then there was two dials, right? One is the regular channel. The other one was the UHF,
VHF
one. Which sounded like there was a rubber band in there, and it would like make this thing. But the box was great because that's what allowed me access to channels 48. 17 and channel B or 31 as some of my friends know, but that required a little bit of finesse. That required a little bit of finessing, and the results were grainy at best. Nevertheless, they were good enough. I, to answer your question, I currently have a Sony.
Good enough to get the job done.
The job done. Really, all you need was the audio. What I have now is a Sony. I think it's a Vizio. I don't know. It's from a few years ago now.
Did you just say a Sony Vizio?
It's not that's not a thing.
That's not a thing. What is a Vizio? Isn't that a thing?
Sony's and Vizios are just
two different things.
It's like saying I have a Ford Honda.
Okay, fine. I could have sworn I saw the word Vizio on my TV, but I'm looking at it and it says Sony.
Bravia.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Thank you. Okay, so we have a listener.
So, TVs.
Who needed TV advice? Go.
JBL, do you? What do you have? You have a TCL?
I have a TCL, which is generally regarded as the all-time bang per buck champion. So the TCL 6 series is a 4K with a full local dimming array. And contrast that stacks up against basically any other LED there is, or LCD there is, right? And to get better, you have to go to OLED. And OLEDs are not yet where I want them to be when I make the jump.
In
terms of price. Yeah. And I also in terms of operating system. So I'm a huge believer in the Roku operating system, which is the Roku operating system is to your television as iOS is to the smartphone industry. It is just far and away the best OS. And it's super robust. It is not buggy in the least. It has support from everybody in the world. So I think it is worth staying. You could buy a 65-inch 6 Series TCL right now for $500, $400.
Oh, that's
and then you can get yourself a 70-inch OLED 3 years from now for probably $500. So why,
I don't know.
Just wait until the OLEDs are being made with the Roku OS and then get the 70-inch version of them for the same price now.
I don't care at all about the smart TV stuff. I don't use the smart TV function on my TV at all. I plugged in an Apple TV 4K to get all of the apps and stuff. I want dumb TVs. I am tired of smart TVs. I don't need my TV to come with built-in apps or anything. I want to be able to plug things in and play them.
Once you have a Roku TV, you won't feel it. It just obviates the need for the Apple.
I have a Roku stick on my plasma.
But you don't need it because it's just in the television then. You don't need you don't need anything plugged into it other than your receiver.
I like to know that I have control over what my TV can show me. It's not just like coming up with things and demanding.
Do you talk to your TV?
You can. I don't.
I don't.
I have that option.
I don't do
but
voice
I don't
search.
It. I don't.
It creeps me out.
All right. Yes, me too.
Yeah. So, Sonny, what do you? I mean, should people make the jump to OLED now, or should they wait 2 more years?
I mean, it just depends. I mean, your point about the money is right. I mean, OLEDs will be cheaper in 2 years because they get a little bit cheaper every year. I don't think they're going to be $500 for a 65-inch. We're still a little ways away from that. Because I do think it's also like. I think enough people don't care about the quality that much that they're fine with getting the non-OLED screens. I mean, and I'll be totally honest. The OLED, the black levels on the OLED are amazing. They're almost too good I've mentioned this before, that like any light in the room creates reflection and is slightly distracting. I'm going to have to get like blackout shades for my TV room just to make sure that no ambient light can sneak in. The image on my TV is better than the old TV I had, but I will say that I do not know that it is necessarily an enormous upgrade in terms of contrast and color banding and all that stuff from the plasma, which is what I was using before and what I still have in another room. The plasma screen I have, I will keep as long as I can. Because it's a nice big screen and it's plasma and it the 1080p is fine, frankly, for the purposes of that room. Should people up their I don't know. I mean, again, it just depends on what you're willing to spend. If you are happy dropping, you know, you can get the LG OLED that I have, I think is about $1,800 right now. You know, the you can get like
65 inch.
It's the 65 inch, 65 inch LG OLED, whatever. Not the newest one. I think it's the 2021 version. If you get it on Amazon through Prime Day, I think you get 10% cash back with a Amazon Prime card if you have that. Which I do. It's like I save so much money on Amazon because I get 5% cash back on everything.
Yeah. From Amazon. And if you wait for the in memoriam sale after he gets his burial in space, then
I think
it'll be even steeper discounts.
I'll have to look. Maybe I'll throw some links in the show notes of this episode. But I think you could probably get. If you have an Amazon Prime Visa or whatever, the Chase Amazon Prime card, you get 10% cash back on TVs in this run up to Prime Day. And I think, you know, they're either $1,850 or $1,900 right now, which means you can get it for somewhere between $1,600 and $1,700 after you factor in the cash back. That's not a bad price. I mean, it's still expensive. It's way more expensive than the TCL, for sure.
I think Best Buy is cheaper than Amazon on basically all televisions.
I was keeping very close eye on this for the last 6 months.
I have bought 3 TVs recently, like 2 for us and then 1 for my in-laws. And on all of them, Best Buy was cheaper by, you know, like... $80 or $100.
Well, Best Buy had the Vizio OLED, which was cheaper and I think exclusive to Best Buy. But I didn't want to get that one.
No, Vizio's crap.
So I wanted to get the LG or the Sony, but the Sony's super expensive.
Also, the TCL, I believe, come with the Chinese Communist Party surveillance chips pre-installed.
Well, that's good.
Because it is a fully Chinese company. They don't just make them in China. TCL is owned by...
It's another good reason not to get TCL.
A company founded by a guy who was on the winning side of the Cultural Revolution. So says his corporate biography.
Who did not have to swim across the channel to Taiwan.
Yeah. So the short version is OLED is better than QLED. QLED is still very good. When I kind of dismissively said this to our friend
Tony
on one of my podcasts over at the Bulwark, he was like, no, QLED. I mean, look, QLED is very good. It does a slightly different thing. The black levels aren't as deep, but the contrast is slightly better. It depends on how you want to measure it. So I don't want to sleep on QLED, but it is, I think it's probably not quite as good as OLED. Again, it just depends on what you're willing to spend. I spent a little bit more on this because I don't want to buy another TV for 10 years. And I feel pretty confident in being able to do that.
See, I err on the side of go cheaper now because I want to buy another television 3 years from now.
Ooh.
And I want to get a large one, not a 65 inch. I want to get a 70 or 75 inch monster.
Yeah.
So
in the space where I have my 65 inch TV, that's about as big a TV as you can have in that space. I'm about 6 feet from the screen.
Yeah.
And it, like, if it actually goes any wider, it will be in the sliding glass door area. It, like, will, it, like, it literally just, like, won't fit in that space. But the, we do have another space that's slightly bigger, and one day I'll get the, you know, 80-inch OLED 8K. But
do you remember when you had your ColecoVision and you had to get a screwdriver to... The thing that the rabbit ears plugged into to
put it in the back?
RF switch, right. The RF switch. Do you remember that? And you had to choose channel 3 or channel 4.
I had barely. I think we had...
I had a RF switch on my NES.
We I think we just left the stuff plugged in the back of the TV. I don't remember. I don't have any more memory about like how we turned on to switch to the ColecoVision. It just... it was. I thought you just switched to a channel and then you turned
channel
it on.
Channel 3 or channel 4.
That's right.
On
so
where
it's probably what it was. And we had actually... we actually got the expansion module so you could play the Atari 2600 games on there because they're just so amazing, those games. I was like, wow, I really miss combat. You know, it's air-sea battle. Give me that. So, yeah.
Well, I believe that's how they got the input into... so before they had component video, the way it was, the set was essentially broadcasting a signal. You know, your console broadcast a signal hyper-locally to that television, which is why you chose channel 3 or channel 4, depending on which channel you did not get in the area in which you lived.
Right, either 3 or 4. Well, we were a 4 house, so I guess we used 3.
I just want to shout out one more Prime Day deal that I noticed. The Eero mesh Wi-Fi system is 100.
That works so well for you.
You joke about this because
it's
not
a whole
the
different
mesh.
Kind of mesh.
It's not the mesh that causes my signal to drop. It's literally the signal coming in from the house. And the mesh Wi-Fi system allowed me to understand what the problem was. So before I had an extender that just sucked. So the signal would kind of fade and get stronger and fade and get stronger. Mm-hmm. And then it would cut out. And I was like, ah, crap, what's going on? But what is what happens now is that the signal just cuts out entirely. Like this, and then it comes back like this 5 seconds later, and it's because the mesh is so good that I'm like constantly connected to everything, but it's the signal from outside of my house that is screwed up. So one of these days, Spectrum, you're gonna hear
there.
From
good luck with that.
Hear from my lawyers.
It's hard to keep track with all the meshes going on. You know, you got the mesh in the swim trunks, you got your signal mesh.
So many meshes.
And then I got the other mesh that I'm in that class action lawsuit with, but man, that's a whole other story. Sorry. People, no, that's a, well, you have to see, if you, be on the lookout for those commercials. If you had the mesh.
I've never heard them here, though. I've only heard them in North Jersey.
Okay, yes.
I've heard those commercials in North Jersey.
Yes, and there's two. One I thought had to do with hernias, but
it's
then the other one,
clot,
the other one I thought was vaginal, so.
Oh, I thought it was the mesh that they will insert for people who are in danger of blood clots.
Yeah, it turned out to be bad. Is that not? I think that's the thing. Yeah, and it was bad too. Bad as well. Something. JVL, what's going on with you as we're hitting?
Nothing. We're going on too long. 30-minute mark. I'll give you something in outtakes.
Okay. All right. Great. I actually don't have a transition to this, so I'm just going to jump over to
Vic. That's a very big head you have.
Speaking of which,
big heads.
Actually, did you want to do a box office discussion?
We're 30 minutes in.
Well, you know, Conjuring 2 did $24 million. Followed by A Quiet Place 2 with 19, and in third place, Cruella at $11 million. That movie has already grossed more than $43 million. That must be an amazing movie, Sonny.
I would say the most interesting thing is that The Conjuring at 24 million? Is that right?
Yes.
24 million is something like, I don't know, 30 to 40% below what the previous
Conjuring
opening weekends for that series which suggests that the HBO Max deal with Warner Brothers is starting to have an effect on box office take. We'll see what happens this weekend with In the Heights, a movie that we are not going to be talking about on this show. I already have to do it on one of my other shows. Oof. So we're not doing it here.
Okay.
We're going to do Infinite next week.
Yeah, apparently
we're
doing
into that.
Infinite,
that looked interesting. Okay. Good. Oh, by the way, okay. So really quickly, people were talking about on Twitter, and you chimed in about Chicago movies, and you said The Untouchables. And then, of course, I said Untouchables for great Chicago movies, Ferris Bueller, Fugitive, and, of course, The Blues Brothers. And then other people said, what about Adventures in Babysitting? And I said, that is a great movie with Elizabeth Shue.
Careful.
Who happened to be also very good in Leaving Las Vegas, which did pretty well in the quadrants. But do you remember Elizabeth Shue? Where am I going with this? Elizabeth Shue got her start. She was the Burger King girl. You can still probably find it on YouTube. And she was great.
I was like, how about on Daily Motion?
Kid. And she was prior to Karate Kid, she was the Burger King girl. And I loved Burger King, except for the birthday parties, because everyone got a crown and it never fit my large head. Speaking of which, today we're talking about MODOK on Hulu. Sonny, how about a big boy review?
Marvel's MODOK on Hulu. So this is I think the last TV show spearheaded by Jeff Loeb. From the Jeff Loeb regime at Marvel. It is outside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is interesting in and of itself. We can talk about that a little more. But it is not connected to Avengers, Infinity War, Spider-Man Far From Home, or any of those things. It's its own separate little thing. It is... The easiest way to describe it is that it's Robot Chicken by way of... Marvel Comics. It stars Patton Oswalt as MODOK, who is the head of AIM, which is basically Evil Stark Industries, is an easy shorthand to think of it. He's a villain. He wants to, you know, take over the world and make it a utopia in his image. But problem for him is that he's got a family and he's got family life and he's got to figure out how to deal with his kids. You know, he's got a young son who is an ADD case and he's got a daughter who, like him, has a giant head that's floating on a chair, who is a little mini villain all on her own. And his wife is an influencer. So he's juggling, life as a villain, with his business, which has been taken over by a Google-like company. And life with his family, which is not great. As the series begins, the wife wants to get separated and get a divorce. So here's, as I said, it's kind of like the Adult Swim series Robot Chicken. It's stop motion animated. It is produced by Seth Green. It has this kind of wacky. Not quite as Dadaist or absurdist as Robot Chicken, but in a similarly weird humor sort of vibe to it, that I don't think entirely works. I don't think the aesthetic here entirely works because Robot Chicken episodes are 11 minutes long, and the way that it's structured is that it just jams jokes in there. There's like four jokes a minute, you know, when it's really clicking. On all cylinders. And in this show, it's structured like a sitcom. So the kind of the goofiness of it kind of wears out its welcome in a way because it's not quite fast and snappy enough to keep up the pace of that whole wacky ideal. That said, it's still pretty funny. I thought it was a solidly plotted, solidly scripted show. It's got very good jokes about Google and influencers and all of that stuff. The thing I think I like the most about it is that it is separate from the MCU. It is not the kind of standardized. The standardized aesthetic and tone and quality control that Marvel is known for, which leads to a lot of unevenness. There's ups and downs in this series that you're not going to find on a WandaVision or a Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or even a Loki, which is out this week. The new MCU show Loki is out this week. But it is more memorable as a result. And just one like brief example of this, there's an episode early on, I think it's the third episode, maybe the fourth episode, where a group of turtle-like aliens from another dimension show up at a corporate retreat, and they basically party the people in this corporation to death. At one point, one of the characters shouts out, "Good news, guys! You can fuck them or something.
You can have sex with them."
You can have sex with them, and they start having sex with the troll. And like, you would never find something that weird or that frankly kind of creepy and absurd in an MCU production. It just wouldn't, you know, even in Thor Ragnarok, which is about as weird as the MCU gets,
Deadpool,
you wouldn't see something like that's not MCU.
They have crashed. It is sneaky MCU because they have the crashed helicopters. It takes place in a post Winter Soldier Civil War.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It's not. It's in the X universe. They may try and retcon it in, but it, you know.
Okay.
It references some of that stuff, but that's because it's referencing everything. It also references Green Lantern. Fair. That doesn't mean it's a DC movie. So anyway, I like it because it is weird. I think it could have been slightly weirder. And honestly, I think it would have been a better show if it had been the same number of episodes and half as long. If they had done the full robot
Shorts.
Chicken thing, mm-hmm. where each episode is you know, 11 to 13 minutes long, and they're just jamming MODOK jokes mm-hmm. and Marvel jokes mm-hmm. and like weird, creepy sex turtle jokes in there constantly, bang, 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 one after the other. It would have been, I think, a little bit better and truer to that specific idea of comedy. But I don't know. What'd you guys make of it?
JVL, what do you think?
So it's way too long. It's twice as long as you say, Sonny. But here's the weird thing about it. It is the most emotionally earnest Marvel production because it has a very genuine emotional core to it, which is messy and a little bit uncomfortable. And I don't know if you guys watched the whole thing.
I did.
I did.
So one of the things about MODOK is that he is not like Homer Simpson. So in his home life, he's not the bumbling guy who's trying to get it right, whatever. He isn't trying to get it right. He's a terrible father and husband. He is selfish and unpleasant. And through a bit of time travel, he bumps, spoilers for anybody who cares about this sort of thing. He goes back in time and his 22-year-old self sees what he has become, which is like a third-tier villain with family problems. And the 22-year-old version of himself, who dreams of taking over the world and becoming the Emperor of Earth, is horrified. And you see little scenes of MODOK's life as the series goes on. Like, for instance, his wife telling him she's pregnant. And he says, how can I celebrate a birth when I have to plan a funeral for my dreams? And this is both played for laughs, but is also very real. And the denouement of the series comes when the 22-year-old version of himself starts traveling through time. And like Doctor Strange in Infinity Wars, he says, I've looked at all 5 million timelines, and there's only one timeline in which you get to become the Emperor of Earth. It's the timeline in which I kill your family. And MODOK can't say yes, but he can't say no. And so the 22-year-old version of him kills his family. We shoot forward, and he, in fact, is Emperor of Earth.
He's old MODOK.
He is old MODOK, and he is torturing the 22-year-old version of himself, trying to find out how to get his family back. And this is a very, very, this is like a letter written by a 40-year-old man to his 25-year-old self, saying, I know that you think it's going to be hookers and blow for the rest of your life, and that you're going to become super famous and you're going to change the world, and that the idea that you live in a suburban house with a white picket fence and two kids and a dog is going to look to you like
horrible.
Jail.
Yeah.
But you have to trust me that you're going to change. And it won't be jail when you're here. And
except for
Marvel movies don't do things like that.
Except for in this version, it's the 22-year-old who prevails over
right.
40-year-old.
But this is, and in that way, it's the exact opposite of that. What was that horrible animated family film that we just watched a few weeks ago?
what was that?
Not Harry and the Hendersons. Yeah. The Mitchells versus the Machines. Which was all schmaltz in the service of like, well, they all look like they're bad parents and a bad family, but it turns out they love each other and everything is okay. This is much messier. This is about grappling with the idea that you change as a person as you grow, and that the things which you once saw as a form of imprisonment are actually the good stuff, mm-hmm. and the stuff that you will learn to cherish even as you hate it.
Yeah.
It will become important to you even if it isn't, you know, a Hallmark card.
Yeah.
That's a really deep...
The payoff on this season, and frankly series, because I don't think there's going to be a second episode.
There shouldn't be.
Or second season. The payoff at the end of this season is fantastic. It's for as much of a slog as the show is in
bits
parts
pieces,
in the middle.
Yeah.
It could have been done in five episodes.
Again,
the whole thing could have been done in five episodes.
There are ups and downs. There's a whole, you know, team up with the minor villains episode, which, like, again, is like kind of funny and has some good jokes in it. But like, at the same time, it's filler episodes. A lot of the stuff with the Google the living corporation or whatever is, again, it like doesn't actually pay off anywhere. It's a distraction from the actual, but maybe it's I hate to criticize it because I think it all basically works as a piece of storytelling. I just needed it to be tighter. I just needed it to be like two episodes. If they could have gotten it two episodes tighter, even at this length, I think it would have worked. But
Victorino, what'd you think?
Well, you
You're
know,
the man of the people.
I tend not to. I don't think I do quadrants.
The line about giving hand jobs behind the Arby's didn't kill you.
Shocking. A series quadrant score. The plot is an A-. It's pretty easy to understand. It's pretty straightforward. He wants his family back. Duration, I gave it a C. I also have the cheap version of Hulu that has about 20 commercials jammed in there.
Yeah.
My God.
I don't know how you would have.
Hulu kills you with commercials.
Oh my! I had no idea because I've watched movies on Hulu, and they don't interrupt the movie.
Do you guys both have the commercial one?
I actually switched over to the paid to the expensive version.
Oh my gosh!
Just
it's
for
unbearable.
This, and then
the
I went and canceled
the
expensive version as soon as I was
horrible.
Done because
this is like
I was watching it. I kept seeing where the commercial breaks were.
Yeah,
there's
and like,
I was like
six
commercial
a ton.
Breaks yeah. per 30-minute episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so it stretches it out, and it's the, you know, they have the little countdown clock to tell you how long the ads are, and it's about
like 2-minute breaks for each fucking
an hour. Yeah. It's a minute and a half, and I stare those seconds. It's like the Christian Leitner shot would have been like 2 minutes. Instead of 2 seconds by that counting. You know what I mean? It's like so slow as it ticks down to zero. So it got a C. Violence, action's an A+, very funny. And sex, nudity, kind of gave it a B. You know, there's some parts pretty funny. I liked it. I did think it was on the long side. I have questions.
Who is Wonder Man?
Well, yeah, I had to look into all this because I thought they just made up these characters, but of course they're all real. But and they're sort of like D-list villains. But the question is MODOK himself one and doesn't recognize that he is? Like, how is he treated in the Marvel Universe? Where is MODOK from, and what comic book is he in?
He's
MODOK
human.
Is Avengers and Iron Man.
I think.
Ah.
And he, I would classify him as a B tier villain, not a total joke, but also
B minus C plus,
not a real, he's not Mr. Sinister as we see in the nightclub.
B minus C plus level villain.
What is his personality like in the comics? In the comics is just very serious and nothing like this, obviously, I'm going to assume.
Yeah, I mean, he's this little guy with a Napoleon complex who, I'm going to rule the world.
Oh, okay, so that is. Okay, all right. Yeah. Interesting.
I was kind of surprised to see Arcade show up, who I'm pretty sure I don't know.
That struck me as a DC thing, but no, because it's
no,
very
Arcade
Joker-like.
Is real. He's a Marvel villain.
Okay.
I always think of him as an X-Men villain for some reason, but he, I think, kind of is just a free. He just shows up wherever.
Yeah.
I like the various little spoofs they do. Sonny, did you recognize the spoof of the Mad Men carousel spoof? Did you like that?
Yes.
That was very good. Of course, there's the Ken Burns.
Again, that's the sort of thing that you could do. You do briefly, and then you flash to the next joke.
Right.
Like on Robot Chicken, that would have been a like 3-second joke that they returned to, you know, maybe 4 times in the episode.
They got to stretch it out. I also like the idea. I like the pixelated mandrill genitalia.
That was very funny.
It's very funny, and it's a half door. It's just to stick it to armadillo. I mean that's still for me that really worked. I thought it was great.
Were all of those like bottom feeder villains real?
I
like,
looked into
the
it. They
on...
were yes. I lo- oh, yeah, I didn't check funny. Into the I didn't check the one voiced by Bill Hader, which is the has-been rock star, which is hilarious. But the other ones were including Whoopi Goldberg, who voiced Pouncy, I think is her name. I mean, I think, but Melter, I mean, and of course, Iron Man was voiced by John Hamm. It was very good.
I did not even realize that until I looked
it
up.
Yeah, I had
IMDb.
To look it up. I mean, it sounded like it, and Whoopi Goldberg, I recognized that as well. But otherwise, I mean,
John Hamm, once again, begging people to think he's funny. It's like his whole post-Mad Men career is
has to be completely different.
Doing comedy, being like, come on, tell me I'm
Saturday
funny.
Live, Bridesmaids.
Like, okay.
But it works. I like it.
All right.
I like
you're
it.
You're funny, John.
Yes. So they go back. Monica is his rival at AIM, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a joke about how she killed a Marvel superhero, and then the joke is they don't tell you who it is. But I'll tell you, it looked like... what's his name? Ryan Gosling. Ryan Reynolds is a superhero. Who?
Deadpool.
Deadpool. It looked like Deadpool, but I don't know. I don't know if that was supposed to be
the joke. I don't think. I don't. No, I think the joke is
okay.
Just. Well, Deadpool's not an Avenger as well.
All right.
So.
I thought it was funny, although I thought it was a little bit on the long side. A great sort of cliffhanger ending about how is he going to get his family back? But you guys are suggesting that he doesn't. Or I mean, that there is no season two.
My understanding, and I don't have any particular insight into this, is that everything that Jeff Loeb has done is done and is finished.
What happened to Jeff?
It's all been pulled under the umbrella of Kevin Feige and the
What
MCU.
Happened to Jeff Loeb? Did he decide to spend more time with his family? Was he looking for new
new
opportunities?
I honestly, that's internal Marvel stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. Can I?
JVL.
I mean, just I'm looking at my notes. Neither of you were struck by how great it was having Amy Mann cover Third Eye Blind?
Oh, was it Amy Mann singing that?
I
was wondering because it was a very nice version.
I just thought
song.
It was funny that they used Third Eye Blind, which is like
hysterical.
the perfect like late 90s.
Yeah. I have that. That's the only CD I own is that
college
one, but it's got all the good
and
stuff
the,
in there.
The villain from Grumble modeled off of Gavin Belson from Silicon Valley, which was fabulous.
Yeah. Voiced by Beck Bennett.
Beck Bennett. I love Beck Bennett. I think he's
Austin.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The whole thing... The other thing, I hesitate to bring this up, but I will do it only because we have a Patreon show, and so this won't be done widely. So Patton Oswalt wrote and co-executive produced this, and a lot of him is in this. And I wonder if this isn't very personal to him, because Patton Oswalt has had kind of a rough road. So he is, you know, basically Portland's comedian nerd in residence, a beloved figure in both the stand-up scene and in the comic book scene from Portland, and
so not Portlandia, but actual Portland.
And a few years ago, his wife died very suddenly, and you know, one of these, you know, horrible things, very young, with no warning, and you know, he's a single dad all of a sudden. And I just wonder, I mean, this is a guy who has always wanted to make it, despite the fact that he's funny looking and he's a nerd and all this stuff. And suddenly he's a single dad. And I just wonder if there is, if that stuff is pinging around inside the,
I wonder
if this is the, actually in a weird way, if the, the stop motion series on Hulu full of dick jokes is actually the most personal emotional story any Marvel property has ever told.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it, certainly of this like generation of Marvel stuff, I don't know. I mean, it
And Patton also, I mean, he gets work. I mean, he was the voice of Ratatouille, you know, Ratatouille.
Patton Oswalt is fine.
And he had a great character role in Veep, sort of the molesting.
He's great.
Political, he's
great
consultant.
In everything he does. I love Patton Oswalt.
I hate his politics, but he's fine. So,
and he's good in this. Good. Yeah. And so I mean, again, maybe he came in as a writer after, you know, the main arc was already established by Jordan Blum. And
I think he's the showrunner here. I think
he and Jordan Blum are the co-executive. Yeah. But I as I was watching this, all I could really think was that a lot of this is old Patton Oswalt trying to talk to young Patton Oswalt. And there is something very deep and very true about how these things that are, you know, it isn't a Hallmark card, right? I mean, the family life is like, it's messy, and a lot of these things are burdens, and, you know, a lot of times in fun, but it changes you in fundamental ways. Even if you don't exactly like super duper love it all the time. And I just thought it was like a very honest and uncomfortable and also true thing for a weird robot chicken show to be saying.
Well, certainly, you know, what you value or what gives you most happiness when you're, you know, our age is different than what you thought it would be when you were, you know, starting work when you were like 22 or 23. And the only, you know, when I talk to kids about in general about, you know, career choices and things, I always say, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you try to do the job that you love the most because, you know, you can move around and you're mobile. You don't have any dependents. You can do all these different things. And when you're, because when you get to our age, the priority is how much money you need to make in order to support your family, you know, which is, that's the only thing that really matters is, do I have enough, you know, kids have to go to school or this or that. And that's it. And being comfortable, you know, and if you can do something great, great. But, you know, that shifts because of these other responsibilities. But anyway, I have a technical question, which is, how do they do this? Is it all just CG? I mean, is all computer animated stuff to make
it's
it look like
stop
it's stop
motion?
They actually do the stop motion. Wow.
Yeah, there's a studio that does this. It's really
figures.
It's
like the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer style.
Yes.
Oh, that's impressive. I just figured
the sculpture work on them is gorgeous.
Oh, that's really great, because I just assumed that they just use computers to make it look like that.
I don't know about gorgeous. There's a clunkiness to it that I find very charming.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. No, it works much better than if it was just an animated series.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, when people are holding iPhones, you can see the lines in the silver bezel on the iPhone. You know, iPhones typically have that, you know, that break in the bezel. I think it's pretty great.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Any other thoughts on MODOK? So this next movie you mentioned is Loki. That's coming up. That's a series. Also,
that's on Disney Plus
now.
First episode just dropped.
And that is going to...
Owen Wilson is back. I love it.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's great.
I saw that. And so that is going to be connected to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, that's all MCU.
Infinity War.
So the way it works is the Loki in this series is the Loki who in Endgame...
Vanished.
Vanished. But remember, in Infinity War, the previous one, Thanos killed him.
Yes.
So, like, in the real timeline, he's dead. This is an offshoot, and the thrust of the series is Owen Wilson works for the Time Variance Authority, which is the hyper mystical mm-hmm. organization in charge of keeping the timeline straight. This Loki who has escaped is should be destroyed because he creates a
rift.
Whatever. The long and the short of it is he is a variant who needs to be eliminated and does not want to be eliminated.
And this is, you know what? I want to watch it, but already on the plot, we're nearing between a D and an F.
It would be very amusing to get. I would be interested in, like, week by week.
What is that? What I think is happening?
Vic explains Loki.
No, I mean, it's right up there with, like, Terminator time travel thing. I mean, it's just all fucked up. So anyway, but I will watch it. Here's a question. When they do these kind of shows, do they have to, are they not allowed to show clips of, like, previous movies with other famous actors?
I don't know.
You notice these shows studiously avoid that, you know.
Well, so in this one, they had clips from Avengers Endgame. So there were there were clips of, like, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. and Chris Hemsworth and all those guys. But very interestingly, Robert Redford, who famously was in Endgame,
Winter Soldier,
not in Loki at all. He does not make an appearance.
Because he was in S.H.I.E.L.D., right? That was his.
He's there when they're making.
He was there at the old Free Beacon office. That was the headquarters. Yeah. Okay, good. All right, then. Moving right along. Spirit of the week. You guys drinking anything?
Drinking Diet Coke.
Okay. No, all right. Corrections, shout outs, anything? Nothing? We're good?
I don't think I have anything.
Nice. All right. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at SunnyBunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We are there. Tell your friends. Until next time. What's going on?
So, Flash has concluded his regular season of travel ball, and so they keep advanced stats even at the travel league level, which is hysterical. You can't get, like, war, but you can get things like whip and all sorts of, you know, barrels and stuff like that. In 16 innings, this is more, I say this, Vic, this will all be lost on you, but for, like, Ryan, who's listening to this, this will make you laugh out loud, Ryan. Flash pitched 16 innings this season. He finished with 40 Ks. The opposing batting average against him, 0.096. And the batting average against with runners in scoring position, 0.08. Ridiculous.
I'm sure it's fine.
Sonny, you're just staring right at me. Come on.
I mean, those are good numbers. It's good numbers. He's striking out those kids. They're not putting. What's the batting average with balls in play? JVL.
With balls in play.
What's the BABIP?
Hold on. I would have to go pull that up. Hold on a second. Not a lot of balls in play. BABIP. 417.
So when they hit the ball, they hit it hard.
No, balls hit hard is 0.0%. So nobody hit him hard. This is possibly a commentary on the fielding.
Wow, so you're saying he doesn't have backup in the field?
I wouldn't say that. I would say these are 12-year-old kids.
I think you are saying that.
I'm sure it's fine.